Hopefully he's put down his cheese sandwich to join us on the program today. LT, wrote an article at Oilers Nation comparing the Oilers defense to the four teams that are still remaining in the NHL playoffs. And, you know, it's substantially different when you look at, you know, experience overall for sure, but more so just the size and girth of the Oilers blue line. It's got to get bigger moving forward. They've got young guys coming. The problem is you don't really win deep in the playoffs with youth, as Colorado just figured out again.
Yeah, it's tough. And I think that's what Ken Holland was saying at his media avail, is that, you know, everybody wants the Oilers to win right away, but they have some things to take care of. And, you know, Broberg's a big man, Samarikov's a big man, but they're you know, young players who are emerging now. After Nurse on the left side, now we don't know if Klepbom's coming back. Russell is not a big man. We don't know where Caleb Jones is gonna land. So I think they'll probably, you know, there's a chance they'll add somebody on the left side here. And then on the right side, you'd add Larson, and Bouchard is, I think he's over 6 feet one, but he's not a big man. And then Bear is undersized too. So they've got some work to do, but that's something you do over time, right? You can't necessarily just, do that in one summer. That's a process that's going to take a little while.
Lotide, is there a guy or a player that you've identified that you think would be a nice fit on that second pair? And I'm assuming that Klefbom can't come back, so that money's available. Spend it wisely.
It's tough because Martinez is interesting, right? But he's probably, I don't know what it costs. I know a lot of people like Oleksiak, and he's a big man. But I think you'd want more of a puck mover to play with Larson. I'm not sure what they're going to do if they, you know, have to bring somebody in. But it might be somebody like Kulikov, just because I don't know if there's a high-end guy you can go out there and get, aside from Martinez, who I suspect is going to maybe be out of their range. They've got a lot of business to do up front this summer, do the Oilers.
Oh, definitely up front, Al. But, there's a big hole on the second pair left defense. And, you know, the wild card praying is that the Oscar Klefbom is back, but I'm not even sure that would be plausible for the start of the season. We'll see how his rehab goes and if he feels he can even play or not. But, you know, there are some, like Mike Riley's out there. You know, there's Martinez, who's older. Jamie Oleksiak. Like, Jamie Oleksiak, when you look at, you know, the rumors of Larson and 3.75, and I still said I thought between 3.75 and 3.9 is kind of where he'll come in. Now, you know what? Who knows? Maybe he'll test the market, right? Like, there's never any guarantees. So, but I do think, I know they're talking both sides. I know that the Oilers would like him back, so we'll see. But, like, Jamie Oleksiak, like, does he command more than 4 mil?
No, I don't think so. But, you know, here's the thing. Do you want to, let's say Klefbom is not just gone this year, but he's gone. He's no longer, in the future plans. God forbid, but let's just say that. So you've got Nurse in the top pair, and then you've got Jones and Lagesson and Russell. You don't really have a second pair left defenseman. Now, you might in the future in Samarikov and Broberg, but you don't know that. You're not absolutely certain. So, I mean, if you want to limit yourself to free agency, it's going to be Oleksiak or Martina. It's not a very large group. And then, you know, maybe you're looking at a trade, or maybe you feel like Samarikov is close enough that you can sign Kulikov and or whomever, and, you know, maybe 6 months from now or mid-season you can maybe have a look at that. I don't think they'll do that, but it all depends on how they evaluate what they have currently. And the only thing I'll say for sure is that, if, you know, I know everybody says they've got a lot of money, but if you're starting to add Oleksiak at $4 million, that's probably money that may be better spent on left wing this summer. With, you know, they don't have a lot on left wing. They're going to have to sign Nugent Hopkins and somebody likely, or two left wingers. So I'm not sure how much money they're going to be able to spend on left wing and improve up front. The money's going to go quickly. If Klefbom's out, they'll be able to spend the Klefbom money there, and maybe Oleksiak comes in at that point in time.
Tom Allen Mitchell. You can hear him every day on the station from 10 till 12 on the Lowdown with Low Tide. There was a pretty intense reaction to Devin Shore signing. And, you know, I'm not going to ask you whether you like the player or not, but, you know, I feel that when a fourth, when you have two fourth lines, you know, both lines are going to sink. And, you know, so for that reason, the Oilers have to upgrade significantly their third line and make it a true third line. Do you feel that way as well, or is there, or am I missing the boat here, Mr. Allen Mitchell?
I agree. I think, you know, number one, people react. I think they react to everything now because they've got 15 years of ammo. So, you know, you've got, you know, Ken Holland goes out and signs a guy that his coach likes. He can penalty kill really well. And everybody goes nuts because they're attaching it to every other free agent signing that's happened back to Eric Bélanger and Toby Peterson. And that's not really fair to Ken Holland, and it's certainly not fair to Devin Shore. But people are people. They're going to be cruel online, and that's what happened with Devin Shore. And it's unfortunate, but this is the world that we live in, and everybody has to understand that. But in order for them to compete, to be competitive, they have to have more skill on the third line. And they did a little bit this year. Tyler Ennis, when he was playing with, I think, Kara and Archibald, they didn't play a lot, less than 100 minutes, but they played pretty well and they outscored the opposition. And that's what they have to get to. I think it's going to happen naturally, Jason, because Holloway can't be that far away. I think McLeod is a guy who, although he didn't score a lot, he showed a lot of good things. And they've got, you know, like, I think Cassian's going to recover a little bit. They also have Archibald on the right side. I think they're going to be better on the bottom six than people are giving them credit for. And part of it is, you know, Benson, Holloway, McLeod. There's a group coming up from the farm that's going to replace what they have. I think the reason they signed Devin Shore, though, was because of penalty killing. And Haas is gone from the PK, and Nygaard is gone, not that he was a big PK guy. So there was room there. So I think people overreacted because they thought, oh, here we go again. But if you look at what's coming up on the farm, there's more skill coming for this team.
Are you talking about patience, Low Tide?
Yeah, I know. I've had a headache all day. I'm not thinking clearly. I tried saying patience on Edmonton Radio about the Oilers. I mean, what was I thinking? You know.
Yeah, that's good. And I think, you know, I feel like that was the message from Holland at the end. Like it's coming. It's coming. And because there's so many holes to fill. I think the left wing you got to deal with, and you know, and I think you got to figure out that third line in some way. But eventually, some of these guys are going to start punching in there. And you know, Gregor named off a bunch of defensemen that are coming, and you know, those guys aren't going to help right away. But at some point, they're going to come. And you know, filling holes internally is so easy. It's like found gold, like with Bear, Yamamoto. So I still, because I think there's too much work to be done, and you don't want to box yourself in. Now, the one I have quickly for you is, what about as far as Darnell Nurse? Should the Oilers try to get him on a contract this summer?
I think they should, depending upon how much money we're talking about. But if they can come in at a reasonable amount, then getting it done now gives you cost certainty. You know, here's what the Oilers did. I'm not blaming anybody because I think it was over two GMs, but they kept kicking the problem down the road. You know, they Shirelli, give him credit. He met McDavid and Draisaitl contract issues head on. But, you know, Darnell Nurse was a top 10 pick. And he you know, when he arrived, he was placed up probably higher than he should have in his first year, and he struggled a little bit. But he's been getting better every year. And this year, I mean, he just killed it. He absolutely had a great year. Now, if you sign him this year, you're going to be paying for that year moving forward. But what happens if he has another great year? Now you're even deeper into the situation. And I've just seen it happen too many times. I mean, PK Subban's the ultimate example of that, where they kicked the problem down the road and then they finally eventually traded him. I don't think they'll trade Nurse, but I if they can get him on a contract that is manageable now, I think that's probably a wise idea.
Yeah, Nurse is an interesting one for me because Nurse is a classic case of, because I do find there's certain people that that are online that are, you know, follow analytics heavily and they critique every move, but they never admit when they're wrong ever when it comes to, well, because like how many people wanted to trade Darnell Nurse? I could go back because it's not worth my time. And people said, oh, he'll never be more than a second pair defenseman, right? Like they thought at best he'd be as a number three, and that was his, like this time last year. People were saying that, and so I like Nurse is the prime example. And it's funny because Jeff Petry was never as good as Darnell Nurse at this age. He wasn't.
No,
now Jeff
no,
Petrie's good. Good now, but he wasn't this good early. And Jeff Petrie's a good defenseman, but it's just it's you know, they say, well, the owners aren't patient with him, but then the same people want to trade Nurse. So the irony I find funny. And I look at Nurse, and Nurse is the prime example of, well, Samorikov and Broberg and Bouchard and all those guys are coming now. We're talking probably still they could be in the NHL, one of them maybe next year, and then another one the year after that. But to be, like, impact different guys, they're still probably 3-4 years down the road.
Yeah, it takes a long time, especially defensemen, because as you said, you know, you got to establish yourself first. And, you know, Caleb Jones still isn't established, and he's been here a couple of years now. And you know, it's not – I mean, it's not certain he could get taken in the expansion draft or traded or whatever. He's not absolutely certain to make the team in the fall. And I think he'll be in the NHL in the fall, but maybe not here. And that's how long it takes. Sometimes, you know, like Nurse, when he came up, he was 20 years old. They sent him down, and he lasted like 9 games, and they brought him back because of injury. And he struggled. You know, they put him too high on the depth chart. And he struggled, but right away you could tell physically and the speed of the game, he was going to be fine. And then every year he had, so this year he has made more great passes and he got himself into great positions, but he shot better. There was a time when he'd just drill it into the crest of the goalie. Old Jason Strudwick used to do that all the time.
But Whoa, they were in good position, man.
Nurse picks corners. He's shooting high. I mean, he just keeps adding stuff to his game. That's why I think he, you know, they should sign him now. Sorry, Strudy. It just came out. It's one of those.
Yeah. Yes. So much would be nice.
I meant Taylor Chorney is what I meant. You know, Al, he scored a beautiful goal. Just a beautiful. Play that goal again, Gregor, where he scores in the shootout. I haven't seen
Al,
that one
honestly,
before.
I went to look at it the other day. Strud's watched it so much himself that it's kind of gotten worn out a little bit.
So, well, guys, I don't want to brag.
Even on digital.
I don't know if anyone watched that game last night, Vegas Golden Knight, their goalie, the Flower. I've scored on that guy 2 times. Yeah. 2 out of my 13 goals were scored on this guy. There's no one calling me for a solution how to score. I could have told Bednar. I told him exactly how to do it.
Was he ill that night, or how did that work?
But it does, if you're in the game, you got to be good to go. It doesn't matter how you feel. We got a game tonight, you know?
Strudy, so. Maybe you should call your former WHL brethren, Shea Weber, and say, hey, Shea, this is how I beat Marc-Andre Fleury, just in case you want to, you know, care to ask.
Doesn't have the same skill set.
How many games does Montreal win, guys?
I think 2 for sure. I think Montreal, like, Minnesota gave Vegas a run. And, like, in Montreal, I don't know if they can win the series, but, like, Carey Price is playing lights out. The problem with Montreal, Al, is 2 of their top 6 defensemen are out for game 1. John Merrill, people kind of under it. John Merrill, they look at the minutes played. They really like him in the playoffs. The guy's got experience again, right? Like, they feel more comfortable with him than Romanoff just because he's less of a risky player at this stage of his career. And with him and Petry out, you know, that means Brent Kulak probably has to go into your top 4. And now, if it's only 1 game, okay. But Petrie's finger, I'm guessing if he does come back for game 2, he's probably playing with a frozen finger, right?
Yes.
So that hurts them. I don't know if they could have beat them 100% healthy, but it's going to be even harder when you have 2 of your top 6 defensemen up.
It's such a freak injury for Petry, too. It's really too bad. It really is.
No, yeah, it's terrible. Like, it's Strudz, have you ever heard of a guy getting his finger caught in the camera hole?
I've never seen it. I've never seen it. But Theo Pekham one time shot a puck out and it went through the hole and he got 2 minutes for shooting the puck over the glass.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, like, how can this, like, the angle, you can't get it up from there. It's impossible. And I'm pretty sure I don't think they overturned it. I think he got 2 minutes. And I remember the team was losing their mind. Like, from where he was, you couldn't get it up that quick. Okay, you guys, you know what? I'm out of this conversation. Okay. Mute my mic, Connor.
Strutty. LT, quickly, who's your Stanley Cup Finals?
Tampa Bay, Vegas.
Oh, geez.
Tampa Bay, Vegas. Yeah, oh, I wow. think just, Strutty, is yours the same?
Wow, just going way out of left field, eh? Low tide?
Yeah, I know. I like to you know, be very reckless in predictions.
Did you just check the odds?
No, I've watched the games.
Hey, I'll say this. Putting money on Montreal right now is the best bet. Like, from a financial standpoint,
oh,
like,
sure, yeah.
The odds you're getting are unbelievable.
I'd bet Strutty's house right now on Montreal.
Yeah. Whoa. You know what, guys? You know what, guys? I'm talking tough, but I got the same people as Low Tide.
I love it. Me too. So do I.
I know it's embarrassing.
LT, have yourself a great day. We will talk to you on Lundi.
You too, boys. Have a great weekend.